All right, let's go right on into the 29th chapter. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests and the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And so now he wrote a letter to those that were already in Babylon that were carried away. Verse 2 tells us when they were carried away, so without any doubt, it was during Jehoiachin's time. Well, Jeconiah, Kaniah, see, these are all the same person. So the king, the previous king, you see, so they had been there almost 5 years. See, 4.5 years, Zedekiah had been reigning, and so they went, but you see, Jeconiah, or Kaniah, only reigned 3 months, and then he was carried away into Babylon. So about 4.5 years before this time, all these were taken. Then after Kaniah the king and queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. So the king went, the queen went, and by the way, this would be queen his mother, which would be reigning with him at this time. 2 Kings 24, that's Evelyn, I think you read. 2 Kings 24, 11 and 12, gives her name, who she is. I'm not going into that too much, but all of these were carried away. The eunuchs are those that were identified with the queen. They waited upon the queen. The princes, you see, were relatives of the king, and they were princes. And then there were some skilled tradesmen that was taken into Babylon. In 2 Kings 24, I think it's verse 11, 12. In the eighth year of the king of Babylon's reign, he took them into all these into captivity. And then in the next verse, and by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. Now, let's read this again and take the parentheses out, and I think you can understand, maybe it'll sound a little better. He wrote a letter to Jeremiah, wrote a letter, and he sent it to those that were captive, in verse 1, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem. And he sent the letter by the hand of Elisha, king, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, and saying. Now, the parenthesis tells the first parenthesis in chapter 2, verse 2, tells us when, and the second parenthesis tells us the occasion. And Hezekiah had sent them to Babylon, so they were going anywhere anyway, and Zedekiah sent them to Babylon anyway. And then another interesting fact along that line, Maxine, in Jeremiah 51:59, we read that Zedekiah had gone approximately the same time to Babylon. I think it says in the fourth year, 51:59. But I want to get the fact that Zedekiah had gone to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Now, there might be some dispute there of fourth year of whose reign. But if we're talking about the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign, then this is the same thing as we have in chapter 28:1, isn't it? When the yoke was shown to him. So it's a little hard to understand why these other two went. But we do know that they did, and a letter was sent. They were the messengers sent it. All right, let's look in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, verse 4 is the salutation of this letter, or who it was addressed to. All that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away. Notice it was God's doing. He caused it to happen for them to be carried away. And again, we can't help but say, if they would have known that it was of God, they should have just yielded to it. But here's what they were to do now that they were there. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that you may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminish. Keep the Israel alive. Keep multiplying, even though you're in a foreign country. They were to occupy until time for them to leave. Jesus gave them the same thing during his time. He told the Jews to occupy until I come. And people use that for the church, but he wasn't talking to the church when he said that. He was talking to the Jewish people. And the thought I believe we have in there was simply, don't give up. Don't let down. Keep going on. Get prepared for the time that you're going to return back to your place. So have lots of sons and daughters, and so when you come back, why, you can populate the country again, because this is what God's will for them to do. Then verse 7, they were told two more things to do while they were there. One was to seek peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. To seek peace right where you are. God tells us today that no matter where we are, to be peaceful. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, he says, just tells us to pray for kings, for governors, for those that are in authority, to pray for those people. Then in Romans 12, verse 18, he says, and as much as be within you, live peaceable with all men. Now, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. The Jews were in Babylon, but they didn't have to be of Babylon. They could have been a separated people and lived peaceable there for 70 years, which God told them they were going to be. And this would have been wonderful for them. And then he tells them to pray. Live in peace. And then the second one is to pray unto the Lord for what? For Babylon. Pray for Babylon. You know, we do that. I don't have to like the president to pray for him. I think we should pray for the leaders of our nation, the leaders of the city. They have a real responsibility. They have decisions to make. We ought to pray for them. Whether we like them or whether we voted for them or didn't, pray for them. It had nothing to do with it. But God gives us some other insights about praying for his people. A psalm, Roberta, Psalms 122:6 is a wonderful verse for us to take to our heart even so and pray for others. Jesus says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray and curse not. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we do that too. We pray for God's people. We know that the time is growing close for them to return to their land again. So we see much opposition now there. Then in verses 10, in verse 9, they prophesy falsely, I didn't read that, unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. These are all false prophets. The diviners, these were devilish people that causes decisions through mystic things. And you can look all that up if you want to, but they're deceiving people and they are false people. So no matter where we are or they are, there's always these kind of people that are around. And Then in verse 10, we have wonderful promises. For thus saith the Lord, that after the 70 years are accomplished, that Babylon I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and in causing you to return to this place. There was a definite length of time, and this was God's purpose. This was God's chastisement. This is what he long. Notice the time here. I don't think I mentioned this. We talked about 70 years before. But one of the problems they was having, they wouldn't let the land rest. And the 70 years is 10 sabbatical years. So there were 10 times that this land had to rest, whether the people wanted to or not, it rested. And so I think possibly we could come up with some figures. I don't necessarily want to get into that thought. But verse 11, he says, I know the thought, for I know the thoughts which I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God, only God knows his purpose and why he does things. We can't, our thoughts, where is that in Isaiah 55? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Our human mind cannot understand the things of God, neither indeed can be, because they're spiritually discerned. And so they can't know the thoughts of the Lord. But here he relates some of his thoughts, is peace and not evil, to give unto you an expected end, a joyful end. And then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Now notice the time here, an expected end. This hasn't been reached yet. God's promise has never been fulfilled to this nation. So this is yet future. When they call upon him, when they pray to him, when they submit themselves to him. Verse 13, when they seek him, that when you seek me, you shall find me. And it isn't the fact that God is lost, but they can't see him because of blinded eyes. They need to search for him, not with their eyes, but with their heart. And this is the same way. We search for God with a heart, not with our eyes, you see. And God's ways are altogether different. When they search for him, verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. Notice the I wills down through here. I will gather you all from all nations and from all places wherein I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again to this place wherein I caused you to be carried away into captivity. God had sent them everywhere. And I believe this is another proof that we're talking about the last days. This might have a partial fulfillment, but it has a much greater fulfillment because they wasn't taken captive into all the nations. That didn't happen until 70 AD. But God is going to bring them all back. We've just been talking about those that was carried away in captivity into Babylon. Many of them were in Jerusalem. Verse 16 is talking about, verse 16 through 19 is talking about those that was there during Zedekiah's time when he was reigning. They hadn't left Jerusalem yet. So he writes in his letter concerning them, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and all the people that dwelleth in this city, and all the brethren that are not gone forth into captivity. Now, remember Zedekiah was on the throne. God didn't accept Zedekiah's reign. So, know this, saith the Lord, of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and all the people that dwelleth in the city, those will come into captivity. Now, again, we have a much greater fulfillment than this has ever seen, because we have a man sitting on the throne of David in the last days. His name is Jesus. And when he sits on that throne, then all of those that have that are in Jerusalem will be in captivity. Now, he's going to take his throne approximately 3.5 years, or I'm sorry, approximately 7 years before he takes his throne on earth. So we will have a king that'll be sitting on the throne. Well, in Jerusalem, those that that have not gone forth into captivity, those that hadn't been scattered throughout the land. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, and make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And we talked about these figs before, these nasty figs. And what is it called over there? He was laughing about, and I didn't know what he was laughing about. Naughty figs, yeah. Well, they're vile figs. Cannot be eaten. They're filthy, nasty. And I will persecute them with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, to be astonishment and a hissing and a reproach, and all the nations wherein they have driven. Now here's the thought. Well, I'll read the next verse too. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I said unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early in the morning and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Now, those that were obedient and went ahead and took the yoke, went ahead and went into captivity, they were blessed with a wonderful promise of a return. But those that rebelled, and there's more judgment. Now, we have both kinds of Jews today, don't we? We have those that are submissive. We have those that are really turning to the Lord today even. And God's going to bless them. And there's the one that's going to return back to the land and be blessed. But the rebellious Jew, see, that's rebelling against God's dealings with them, are going to be judged for it because they refuse to hearken unto the Lord. Verse 20, hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity. Now we're going back to the captives that are in Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah the son of Messiah, which prophesied a lie in your name, in my name. Behold, I will deliver them unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before their eyes. And of them shall ye take up a curse by the captivity of Jerusalem, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Now, so he goes all the way back in verse 21 to an example. And this gives reference to 1 Kings 22. I'm not going to turn to it, but in this chapter, I think we have read that before. They were getting ready to go to war with Syria. And all the prophets said, yes, go to war, go up there. God's going to deliver them into your hand. So Zedekiah said, well, isn't there one prophet of Judah here? He said, oh yeah, we got one, but he don't prophesy like we want him to. And his name was Micah. And sure enough, he said, if you go up there, you're going to have, you're going to die. And so Ahab died in the battlefield of Syria. Now, he simply brings this up here as an example of what they were going to do by not listening, see, to the voice of the Lord, by not paying any attention to the word of God. So notice there in verse 22, he said, of them shall ye take up a curse by the captives of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, see, using them for an example. The word saying could be translated as a proverb, or as a saying. The Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in a fire. Now the phrase here in verse 22, roasted in a fire, is figure of speech. We know by history that Ahab wasn't roasted in a fire. He was killed on a battleground by the Syrian army. And they picked him out and went after him. And the captain said, now don't you go after anybody but the king, Ahab. You go after him, you kill him. And so he died. So we know, you see, that he wasn't roasted in the fire. But I think the thought here, you see, this is a proverb that's saying this. And so the thought here is the punishment, the problems that would come upon him. This was not far from Nebuchadnezzar to do this. He had a fire, all right, and he tried to put the Hebrew three children in there, didn't he? But God undertook and wouldn't let him. But anyway, the terrible suffering that would come upon them because of this fact. All right, verse 23, because they have committed felony in Israel and have committed adultery with a neighbor's wife and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have commanded them, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. So we have two things here, lying and immorality. And I think these are essential things even today, lying and immorality. These two things are of the flesh, they're of the old creation, and this is common. Unless they're taught different as children are going to do these things. But nobody can fool God. He said, I know and am witness. I know, I've seen it, and I'm my own witness. You can't get a better witness than that. Thus shalt thou also speak in Dushimnah Nehil Amid, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name, see, not in my name, but in thy name, in his own name. And this is what the Antichrist will do also. He'll do things in his own name. Jesus said in John 5, I think it's 40-something, he said, I've came in my Father's name, and you wouldn't believe me. Another shall come in his own name, and him you'll believe. And so this man sent letters not in the name of the Lord, but in his own name, unto the people that are in Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made the priest instead of Jehoiada the priest. Now, Jehoiada the priest was one who was taken captive earlier by Nebuchadnezzar. And they was accusing Jeremiah for wanting to take this place. See, this was false accusations against Jeremiah and against his word that he was of God. If you keep put them down one way, they try to put them down another. And notice what they called Jeremiah. For every man that is mad, he maketh himself a prophet. Now they're talking about he wrote this false letter trying to put Jeremiah down. But you know, many of God's people were called mad in the scriptures. Paul was called bad in the 26th chapter of Acts, wasn't he? And the king says, thou art mad. And he said, I'm not mad, O most noble Festus. But many of God's people were thought of as being insane or mad people. That maketh himself a prophet, that shouldeth put him in, you should put him in prison and in stocks. This is the answer to Jeremiah, humiliate him, bring him down. Don't let him have this place. But if you'll notice that Jeremiah never tried to be a priest. He didn't even really want to be a prophet. God called him into that, and he had to be obedient. Just like Paul says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So these were false statements. Verse 27, now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet unto you? See, these were false accusations against him. For therefore he sent us to Babylon, saying, this captive is long. Build your houses. Now, here's what they were going by. They were going by this letter that they had sent. So they fired a letter back to Jerusalem. And so they were accusing him of saying false things when he told them to build houses and dwell in them and plant vineyards and gardens and eat the fruit thereof and so forth. And so when the letter came, Zephaniah the priest read the letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Or otherwise, he wouldn't have known. God made sure that Jeremiah knew what this letter that was sent from Babylon to Jerusalem said. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah and the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah and the Nehelamite and his seed, and he shall not have a man to dwell among this people. In other words, he and all of his children was going to die. Neither shall he behold the goods that I will do for him. He's going to die before the 70 years is over. Before they come back, he'll never see the answer that God had given him, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord.